Ladies and gentlemen, good afternoon and welcome to De'Longhi's conference call. The CEO, Mr. Fabio De'Longhi, and Investor Relator, Mr. Fabrizio Micheli, will present you 2010 full-year consolidated results. A question-and-answer session will follow after the presentation. Now, I hand you over to Mr. Fabio De'Longhi. Thank you.
Ladies and gentlemen, good evening. Welcome to the De'Longhi full-year 2010 conference call. De'Longhi posted for the year very strong results, which were achieved in an improved worldwide economic scenario. We believe that the more mature markets in SDA grew at about 7%, while emerging markets posted a much higher growth, probably between 20% and 30%. In this context, De'Longhi outperformed the market in Europe and in the rest of the world. In Europe, posting a very strong growth at around double digits, at around 10%+, while in the rest of the world, the group grew above 30%, at approximately 36%. In this context, sales went up from 1.4 billion euro in 2009 to over 1.6 billion in 2010, at a rate of approximately 16%. Also, the margin went up considerably to 716 million, or 44.1%, from 598 million, or 42%. As a consequence, due to the slower growth of fixed costs, EBITDA improved very strongly from 143 million to 199 million before non-recurring items. Non-recurring items were at approximately 6 million, and bringing the IAS compliant EBITDA to 193 million. Also, EBIT grew considerably from 105 million in 2009 to 159 million, and profits went up from 32 million in 2009 to 75 million. Also, very strong numbers coming from the working capital, which declined from 264 million to 226 million, despite the strong top-line growth. The benefits were very strong from the supplier side and also a strict control of inventory levels. As a consequence from the strong profitability improvement and also the tight control of working capital, the group could enjoy very strong cash generation, and as a consequence, the net financial position at the end of the year is negative for approximately 5 million euros, down from 117 million one year ago. The performance has been positive in both divisions, and particularly buoyant was the performance of Household, driven by the Kenwood brand, the De'Longhi brand, the coffee makers, but also positive contribution of the Ariete brand. While in professionally, the growth was at 5%, driven mainly by the growth of Clima Veneta and the air conditioning part of the division. More in detail, household went up from 1,077 million to 1,277 million, at a growth rate of 18%, and professional, as mentioned before, went up from 334 million at a rate of 5% to 352 million. Both divisions improved profitability, with household delivering an EBITDA before non-recurring items of 176 million or 13.8% on sales, and also professional improved from year before from 29 million to 31 at a margin of 8.8%. In terms of geography, the performance was very strong in the more mature markets, with a growth at 9%, where was very strong Europe at double digit, UK also at 20%, while all emerging markets were positive at a rate of approximately 37%. It's notable that for the first time, the major part of the group growth is coming from emerging markets. So of the 222 million of growth for the group, 124 are coming from emerging markets. Going forward, we will continue to represent the geographic split, underlying the different growth at emerging markets and mature markets, which is also reflecting the new commercial organization that the group has adopted at household division, where we have recently created a new sales organization focused in this new type of reflecting this type of approach to emerging markets and more mature markets. The group also has obviously a good expectation for after these very strong results. The group continue to think that can deliver growth for the year. We have already disclosed our ambitious target for the year to grow up to 10% for 2011. And obviously, if the market condition will be not affected dramatically by changes, sudden changes, or growing concerns related to the crisis in North Africa. In particular, we want to underline that sales for the first 2 months for the group are aligned with the performance that the group has posted during 2010. And no more to add, I would like to leave open to Q&A. Thank you.
Ladies and gentlemen, the Q&A session is open. I'd like to remind you that if you want to register for your question, please press star followed by 1. To cancel the reservation, press star followed by 2. Thank you. First question comes from Mr. Alessandro Falcioni from UniCredit. Mr. Falcioni, please proceed with your question.
Yes, good afternoon, everyone. Yeah, very, very good results, no doubt. I had a question regarding the potential target of the household division in terms of margins, given that you have already obtained a very good result particularly, you know, should we take the full year number as sustainable, or can we think that the fourth quarter number is also an achievable target? The second question is regarding full year EBITDA margin improvement, or you had the third quarter results. After third quarter's results, you had said that you expected a 20% increase in EBITDA in 2011. I was wondering whether that's still valid after these results. And also, if you can give us the timing of the new product launches. I think you have the Latissima, the Super Automatica, the Chef in Spain, France, and UK. And also, if you can go into some detail as to what you expect from the Cooking Chef in these new markets, given that the launch will be taking place this year. That's all for now. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you, Alex, for the questions. So first question was about the targets for household in terms of top line growth and also in terms of margins. We think that we said for the group we can aim to a 10% growth top line, and we think that given the business model we have and the structure, the margin structure and the fixed cost structure we have, at a 10% growth rate, we can deliver a 20% improvement on EBITDA. So in case we will be able, as we hope, to achieve the 10% growth for the group, we can deliver absolutely a 20% improvement at EBITDA level. Obviously, we think that for households, we think that we have better perspectives in household than in professional. I think we have a very strong track record, a good product pipeline, and we think that we expect the division of household still to outperform the professional division. So if the group has to grow at 10%, it is possible that in this scenario, maybe we have expectation for household even at a slightly higher growth rates and also improvement at profitability. This is in principle. We have also to acknowledge, as mentioned in the former calls or also in the presentations, we have to acknowledge that we work in a quite complex macroeconomic scenario for what matters, particularly the raw materials. We said before also currencies. It appears that now currencies are going in a better direction for what concerning De'Longhi, which has which is short which is short on dollar, and therefore the recent rise of the euro is helping the group profitability. However, the raw materials are very, very high. The raw materials have climbed to record highs in the last weeks and actually in the last months. And we expect this situation not to change over the next months. This means that the group has to deliver to protect the profitability and to allow the business model to work as mentioned before. So with the growth of 10%, delivering 20% improvement at EBITDA, has to offset also a deterioration of the margin implied by the higher raw materials, which we expect to impact now at around 25 million euro for the group. We have put in place commercial actions in terms of price increase, mix improvements, and also efficiencies in order to offset that, and we are comfortable that we should be able over the next months to offset the raw material rise. So in principle, I confirm the objectives for the group, that the target is still to grow at 10%, with household outperforming at top line, 20% improvement at EBITDA level, provided that we will be able to do what we are promising in terms of offsetting the higher costs, which are, obviously not as easy. It's not so easy to offset, but we think that we have all the means and the action in place in order to deliver that. Second question is about the new products. We think that we said before we have a very strong product pipeline. We are launching in March the new super metal super automatic coffee maker, and also in March we will start launching the new Nespresso Pixie model. Plus, in September, we will have two more important launches in the coffee category, which we don't want to disclose yet, and will be disclosed more in detail in the next months, since that are not being clearly announced to the trade yet. For what matters, Kenwood, probably we can talk more openly, because Kenwood Chef has been already launched 1.5 years ago in a few markets, and we continue to roll out Kenwood Chef, the cooking Kenwood Chef, in more markets. And we have very strong sales results coming mainly from Italy and France, where we expect probably these markets are more keen on high-end cooking machines, and we expect in these markets Cooking Chef still to perform very strongly. But also Kenwood now is enlarging its range on food processors and mainly on hand blenders, and we are having a tremendous success in many international markets on TriBlade, the new hand blender from Kenwood. We think that probably this will be the new star of the Kenwood range going forward. So adding to becoming the third leg in the Kenwood range, adding itself to the success of stand mixers, food processors, and we think that TriBlade can become really a very strong product to drive growth of Kenwood. Now we are rolling out the product to many international markets, as mentioned before, and to mention just a few, we had a tremendous performance in Australia, in England, also very good performance in France, and now will be rolled out in many other international markets, like in Italy. In terms of also new product lines, we have also some good signs of improvement in new business segments, which is home care, where De'Longhi posted good results after the launch of some new ironing system, particularly in the Italian, French, and Spanish market. Also, this product will be rolled out with a broader international scope in the future. Also, I would like to say that we are completing our international presence, and March is the month of the starting of the trading of the new branch in Ukraine, which is the last edit, which is completing more and more our presence in emerging markets.
Next question comes from Mr. Andrea Bonfà from Banca Aletti. Mr. Bonfà, please.
Hi, good evening to everybody. Very quickly, is it possible to have the gross margin by division for the full year, or specifically for the fourth quarter? And I was wondering, the fall in EBITDA related to the professional division, is that entirely due to raw material increases, and what shall we expect for next year? Would you be able to at least maintain EBITDA achieving 2010, or shall we assume a marginal fall or whatever? And finally, if I may, a couple of questions. One is regarding tax rate. If we can assume this 2010 tax rate is sustainable, which going back is 32%, 33%. And very finally, now you are without debt, substantially. I mean, it should be time to look for acquisition or something more, let's say, important than just, organic growth, which anyway is absolutely very, very strong at the moment. Thank you very much.
So, first question is gross margin by division, sorry. The second is if we can maintain the profitability at EBITDA level due to the raw material climbing.
Yeah, but in the professional in particular, yeah.
In the professional.
No.
Yeah. Yes. Well, obviously the gross margin by division. So let me give you some details. The gross margin by division is at 47% for household, while it is at 31% for professional, more or less. I have to say that also the cost structure is very different. So the two numbers cannot be compared. There are more costs to support household traditionally than professional. However, there is a 15% difference between the two divisions, which is not then at EBITDA level, because the difference at EBITDA level, we see the household EBITDA is slightly less than 14%, while professional it is at around 9%. In terms of EBITDA, we commented already on raw materials and profitability, and this is valid for both divisions. So we think that, yes, we can protect the EBITDA profitability for professional as well. In terms of tax rate, we had a strong improvement of the tax rate due to the improved profitability of the group. It means that IRAP now has a lower impact. So, the impact of IRAP is calculated not on the profit, but is calculated approximate at EBITDA. So in this case, the impact of IRAP is not totally on the profit before taxes. In this perspective, the improved profitability of the group is reducing the impact of taxes for the group. Also, we have to acknowledge that we are selling more in emerging markets and outside of Europe, where the impact of taxes is lower. So as long as we grow the profitability and there is a lower impact of Europe, and as long as we keep growing in emerging markets faster than mature markets, we expect the tax rate to be in line with this or improving.
Next question comes from Mr. Prini Filippo from Banca Leonardo. Mr. Prini, please.
Yeah, good evening, gentlemen. I've got three questions, if I may. The first one related to what I read in your press release, because you mentioned that you also used the leverage of financial discount in 2010. I just would like to ask you if you can quantify the amount account in 2010 and which are your expectations for financial discount for 2011. The second one is related to price increase. I would like to ask you if you are planning, you've already planned to pass some price increase barring your expectation for improving the sales mix. And the third one is just clarification. The plus 20% year-on-year EBITDA increase, underlying if you assume the 10% increase of top line, is, must be considered even after the 25 million of increase from raw materials that you are expecting in 2011. Thank you.
Okay, so about the first question, I will skip the first question and will then hand the word to Fabrizio Micheli for explaining the cost of the financial expenses. With regard to price, yes, we are passing to the market a price increase, and we have already decided on the new price lists, and they will be such to compensate the cost of raw materials. In terms of profitability, we said very clearly that the business model is such that 10% increase in sales should translate in 20% increase in EBITDA due to the business model. Now, this year we're going to have extraordinary impact of raw materials. We have offset the impact of raw materials. We are offsetting the impact of raw materials through price increase and mix actions. And this will be hopefully enough to cover the 25% million that we expect in higher raw materials. So it means that offsetting this, we'll be able to deliver a 20% growth at the EBITDA level if we grow 10%.
Okay, very clear.
So now I hand the word to Micheli for explaining the financial charges.
Yeah. And your question is specifically related to financial discounts, if I remember.
Yeah.
And financial discounts are a component of financial charges, which is directly related to the top line, to the turnover, and it has been proved to be quite stable in the percentage during the years. And for 2010, the total amount of financial discounts included in financial charges is 13.3 million. Versus 11.8 of last year.
Okay, thank you.
Next question comes from Mr. Claudio Giacomiello from Banca Akros. Mr. Giacomiello, please.
Good afternoon. Please, a follow-up on net financial charges, because considering that you have zero now net financial position, can you explain me what is the other components of the 36.1 million?
Yes, this is a common question, and it's we have many times explained that in financial charges we don't have only components related to the debt. This was explained many times, but it's I'm happy to repeat that the components of financial charges are, first of all, interest, debt on debt. The interest on debt are still present in 2010, because the financial cycle of the group is such that the major decrease in debt is happening at the end, at the year end. So substantially what you see is the position at the end of the financial cycle, so that during the year we had in 2010, we had some debt, specifically in mainly in the second and third quarter, where we have the peak of warehouses, inventories, and trade receivables. The second component is related to top line, as we discussed before. That's the financial discounts. The third component is the cost of securitizations and factoring programs that we have in place since 2002, On average, we have about 100 million outstanding effects for this kind of programs, which means that we sell on a non-recourse basis during the year something between 350 and 400 million of receivables. On such transactions, we get discounted price on the nominal value of the receivables, and this discount is accounted for within the financial charges. So the cost during the years has been reduced thanks to the reduction of interest rates. And in 2010 specifically, the amount of cost related to securitization programs amounts to 6.2 million, more or less in line with 2009. And again, I outlined the fact that securitization is linked to top line. Again, it's nothing to do with the debt. And so the more we have receivables, the more, as a trend, we sell in terms of receivables. And then we have a fourth residual, item, which comprises exchange rates gains and losses and other costs related to leasing to general banking expenses, which are not related to specifically to the debt, but to operations. Given this structure of financial charges, it's very easy to understand that even in the situation of, debt reduced to almost zero like we could have in 2011, we will have the financial charges in the profit and loss. Major part of the items are related to the top line.
Yes, can I have a follow-up? Considering this, what is the sensitivity to the cost you pay on this structure of selling receivables to interest rate structure? So the term structure of interest rates, I mean, is there any sensitivity to an increase in interest rates, or what is the duration of this? And second point, what is the increase that you have just for inflation? Because if you have inflation, considering that your stop line is linked to that, I would like to understand what is the sensitivity on this. And third point, if you can tell us what are the FX losses in 2010 you have incurred, please.
Yes, the first point, interest. Well, the securitization programs are to be considered as short-term borrowings. In the cost of securitization it comprises certain fees for insurance of the credits and the factoring, which is flat. And the second component is the interest rates, because we cash in the receivables in advance in respect of their natural maturity. So we are charged interest as in any other loans. These interest rates are floating, so you can consider them as in terms of impact of interest rates like any other short-term borrowing. Inflation, to be honest, I don't understand the question, because we don't have any kind of inflation-related components. And so probably you could clarify the question. The third question is the amount of exchange rate losses or gains. In 2010, we had 4.6 million of losses, which are represented mainly by extraordinary losses due to some transactions, unhedged transactions in emerging markets. I remind that our policy is to structurally hedge our receivables and payables, but in some countries the cost of hedging may be higher than the risk that we run on the exchange rate. So in some exceptional cases, we cautiously decide not to hedge because there is no, there is, let's say, a cost and benefit profile that suggests us not to hedge. But these cases are very exceptional. And so, for example, this year the exchange losses amounted in 2010 at 4.6. In 2009, it was 0.6. I think that we gave you the replies.
No, it's okay. So you have clarified everything. Thank you.
Thank you.
Next question comes from Mr. Andrea Bonfa from Bancaletti. Mr. Bonfa, please.
Hi, good evening again. Got some follow-up question. Is it possible to have some comments on the nature of the write-off related, the 5.6 million write-off you charge on, let's say, DNA line? And if you can elaborate again on the 4.7 going by heart exceptional for the losses or cost incurred in 2010, if those are, if you can confirm that these are not repeatable in 2011. If it's possible to have the precise amount of the factoring for 2010. Thank you very much.
Okay, so could you please repeat the second question, which is not very clear because was the start.
It was related, I think, to the 4.7 exceptional cost in the Forex. If that is confirmed, that you will not incur in the same cost in 2011. Is that right?
Okay. No. Okay. So the first question is about.
Depreciation
of depreciated our goodwill in radiators, which is one of the two business of the professional division. We have decided to reduce the goodwill value by approximately 5 million. Although we thought that we have a good business plan, which should allow to bring the business to a good profitability level in line with the valuation of the goodwill, we have decided this year, due to the good profit and loss for the group, to take a more cautious stance, also in view of the climbing cost of raw materials, which might become more structural than occasional, also for this division. And in this is a matter of prudence, even if we think that the company has good potential to go back to the original profitability level. And the second point is about Forex. On Forex, obviously, we can't foresee what are the Forex profit and loss. We have incurred this year in higher than average Forex loss above our expectations. I think that it's difficult to give an answer to this.
Again, Mr. Bonfa, I stress the point that we have a policy in place where we hedge 100% of receivables and payables during the year, and so the nature of this cost in 2010 is exceptional, extraordinary, due to the policy in place. I reply directly to the third question, which is the amount of securitization in place effect in place at year-end. The amount of effect on cash was 135 million at end of December, which is more or less in line with previous years.
Okay, and if I may, again, this was a question that I asked before. Now you are again in a situation of no debt. You're substantially debt-free. I mean, you would be in the perfect situation to implement some acquisition or to look around. Is something has changed a bit lately, or do you prefer insist with organic growth? What's your view on this?
Well, no. Obviously, yeah, I think with the cash generation that we had over the last year has been such that now we have virtually no debt, and we can go back to look into acquisitions. I think the company has proved in the past the capacity to make acquisitions. We bought Kenwood very successfully in 2001, and now we are back in the position to, let's say, to look again at M&A. There is nothing that will happen shortly. The company is now looking into what are the markets, the products, and the possibilities for us to grow by acquisition. But we understand that this is a tremendous opportunity today, but we have nothing to really add to this now.
And is it possible to have an idea what we are looking for? I mean, is that Europe, emerging market products.
We have nothing to add to that. Obviously, we have two divisions. We think that the acquisition has to be synergistic to the divisions. It can be an additional product. It can be a strengthening of our position in some markets. Mature, hopefully emerging market, but there is no more than this that I can add.
Thank you very much.
Next question comes from Mr. Alessandro Falcioni from UniCredit. Mr. Falcioni, please.
Yes, again. just had a question on non-recurring items for 2011, whether you had a figure in mind. And also, in terms of net working capital, after the strong control you exercised in 2010, what do you think could be the working capital delta in 2011, given the 10% increase in sales that you are going for?
Okay, I think about non-recurring, obviously non-recurring are difficult to predict. Statistically, I can say that in good years, non-recurring can be at 5 million, negative for 5 million. But we had cases in the past, we had 20 million, but also we had years in which we got positive. But I would say that if we have to put a number, I would put minus 5 as a most frequent level of non-recurring items in a year. With regard to the second question about the working capital, I think that the performance in working capital has been very good over the last 2 years. I think that in 2009 it was the year of, say, in which we really put inventories under control. So 2009 was the year of the best performance for inventories. This year we got also stronger financing coming from suppliers. So I really believe that now we are getting to levels of working capital that we rather hope to maintain rather than say aggressively improve. Obviously, we think there is room to improve inventories by reducing inventory in certain product family and product lines, but we think that in a conservative way, I would say that we have reached the levels that we want to maintain now.
Okay, and
in terms of percentage.
Yeah, of course. And in terms of CapEx, you're still going for about 35 million this year?
We're going to have higher investments. I think the next 2 years we have to expect higher investments.
Higher,
won't be dramatic, but it could be at 45, also 50 million, because we are building the new factory in China.
Mm-hmm.
We are now building the new factory in order to reduce the cost and increase the production capacity. And in the short term, we expect them to have higher investment for the range between 45 and 50 million per year for a couple of years.
Okay. And what about advertising? I saw in the press release that that increased to 116 million.
First of all, I think that now, years ago, in 2005, we said that the group target profitability was EBITDA at around between, let's say, at around 13-15%. Now we're getting closer to the target profitability. Now we want to invest more in advertising and invest more in promotional and in-store presence. This means that provided that we are able to still protect our profitability and further improve slightly the profitability, we want to put more money in advertising and put more money in product support, which has been, I think, one of the reasons for the success of the Longhi Group in the market in the last 2 years. More in details, in 2009, the investment in advertising and promotional activities was at 96 million. In 2010, we have strongly improved profitability, but we have increased the investment from 96 million to 160 million. And now the plan is to have a further jump in 2011 to go above 135 million, provided that obviously we hit our top line targets. Otherwise, we will bring this down and put it under control. It means that in the years we have increased the cost of all advertising and promotional activities and brought it from 6% to 8%.
Okay. If I may go back on the cooking chef, maybe I'm a little bit stubborn, but what do you expect from the cooking chef in 2011? And, you know, from, let's say, from the Italian market and from the other markets as well, where you're launching it?
No, actually, I don't feel very comfortable in giving so specific guidelines on specific products. I think that Cooking Chef is a breakthrough innovation, can be very successful in Italy, in France, in the markets where consumers are more keen in doing a lot of things in the kitchen. However, it's still a portion of stand mixers. What we think is that in stand mixer, we can say that has been the fastest growing segment in the food preparation over the last years. It's the segment in which we will invest more in new products like the Cooking Chef and also in advertising support and in-store presence. And we expect this will be still a strong driver for our growth in the future. But to give a guideline on a specific item is very, very difficult.
Okay, thank you very much, Pat.
Next question comes from Mr. Bruno Raguit from Montpensier. Mr. Raguit, please proceed with your question.
Yes, hello, can you hear me?
Yeah, sure.
Yes, hello. Good evening, Mr. De Longhi. I've got a question with regard to your activities in emerging markets. In your press release of today, you indicate a very substantial increase of your sales in a category called Rest of the World. Could you maybe be kind enough to give us some color on that? I mean, I suspect a large part of that is Asia, probably China. You just told us that you are preparing to build a new plant in China. Could you tell us whether you are selling domestically in China, or whether you are exporting back into other countries the entirety of your manufacturing in China? In other words, what is your strategy with regard to the domestic Chinese market? Thank you.
Thank you. So, in the main markets in the rest of the world, the most emerging markets, are Middle East, not North Africa. North Africa, I would like to underline that we are very little in North Africa, so we don't have major issues now with the latest developments in Northern Africa. But Middle East is big. South Africa, Brazil, but the most important are Middle East, Australia, New Zealand. Then we have South Africa. Then we have Brazil, China, and Southern East Asia. China is not a major part of this, but we still have some interesting leading position in espresso makers and coffee makers, which we intend to exploit better over the next years. China, the investment in the new factory in China mainly addressed to be the source of products for the market outside of China. So it's more still an industrial platform for worldwide for the group. And China is still small. The plan that we have in China so far is to work on the key cities and to work in especially in the department stores. So with a very high-end distribution, and we play a niche role in the market with products that are the typical products of the group, which are products for European markets and sold in China. But we see a good potential due to the globalization trends, where you see more of European products sold in China. And we think that coffee particularly has a tremendous growth opportunity, and we see a growth at approximately 30%+ now in China in these product lines.
Okay, but you are confirming that these are still, at present, these are still small sales, like 20, 30 million euros per year, nothing more.
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay, thank you very much.
No more question at the moment. There is another question from Mr. Luca Bacoccoli from Banca IMI. Mr. Bacoccoli, please proceed with your question.
Yes, good evening, everyone. Two questions, please. Actually, three. The first one is on commercial policy. Could you give us the timing of next plan at least price revision? The second one regards the securitization. If you can give us the precise amount of receivables at the end of 2009 you sold through the securitization program. And the third one, maybe has been already answered, but I missed part of the conference call, regards the growth rate you achieved in the first two months of 2011, if you can give some idea of what the growth was. Thank you.
Okay, so the first question, we missed the first question because the line was a little bit difficult.
Well, it's about the commercial policy. You mentioned that you have already planned new list price revision this year. I was wondering what the timing is, if you are going to increase prices, during summertime in September, waiting for the raw material price trend, or if more detail on that, please.
Sure. No, the commercial policy, we have already started since September last year, and will be completed by March this year, the price increase in all the markets. And we think that in the next month we will have completed the price increase. We have aligned the prices as forecasted for 2011. We will have to readjust in case that raw material will further climb. But at the time being, we feel comfortable with what we are doing. Okay. The second point is about the securitization and factoring program, which is now at 135 million at the end of the year, 135 million euros.
Yeah, but at the end of 2009, please?
Was 126.
Okay, more similar.
And the third question was the growth rate in the first 2 months.
Yes, please.
And in the first 2 months, we are growing at slightly faster than last year, but fairly aligned with the growth rate of last year.
Okay, thank you.
No more question at the moment. The control room confirm. There is another question, sorry, from Mr. Bonfà Andrea from Bancaletti. Mr. Bonfà, please.
Sorry to bother you again. Just to be sure, Alex asked you about the non-recurring for the year. You answered in 5 million, but shall we expect at this point in time further impairment test, or for the time being there are no, let's say, issue as far as impairments are concerned? Thank you.
Well, as you know, we don't expect for the, okay, non-recurring we said already. About the impairment test, we think that what we've done is enough. Obviously, there is a test that has to be performed every year, and this is something that will be also influenced by market condition and the possibility to achieve the business plan that we have for the business object of the impairment test. What we have seen is that, and with our auditors, that we thought was wise to post a 5 million depreciation for this year. We are comfortable now, and we think that it should not be necessary a further depreciation. However, this is a matter that will be discussed every 12 months.
Thank you very much.
Next question is from Mr. Bruno Raguit from Montpensier. Mr. Raguit, please proceed with your question.
Yes, I have a second last question, if you allow me. Can you tell us, do you intend to carry on with your policy of factoring your receivables in 2011? In other words, your financial situation and your indebtedness have improved a lot in the past few years. So does it still make sense from a financial viewpoint to carry on this factoring policy? Isn't it a bit costly, or I mean, do you have more benefits than costs? Can you tell us why you keep doing that? Thank you.
Okay. In principle, no, we are very, very happy of the program that we have put in place in the past. Obviously, the cash generation has been such that now we are almost debt-free. So for 2011, we will continue with a flat securitization program, and we will consider going forward along the year what can be the best way to finance. However, for the time being, you can expect that for 2011 we will continue to use at a flat level the securitization.
I would like to add that we don't have, let's say, a policy changing year to year. These programs are in place since 2002, and they are meant to give our credit management some, an efficient organization, an efficient control of receivables, which really happened, and we are very happy also for this, because we have acquired very skilled management for receivables in a very complex business, like the small domestic appliances and the consumer products. So I think that securitization and everything related to that is for us is like a benchmark in terms of efficiency of management. So that's why we have still it in place. And there is no policy, which means that it's not changing, let's say. We do not decide to change from year to year and increase or decrease. We have an amount, let's say, on average, that we sell to the factors, and the different values come out from, you know, the different timing of payments from customers. So it's quite random, but you can take it as stable in 2011.
Okay, thank you.
No more question at the moment. The control room confirmed there are no more questions.
Okay, thank you for attending the long conference call.
Ladies and gentlemen, the conference is over. Thank you for calling.